If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Luke 16:11. I am Rob West. We're called to be good stewards of God's resources, but being financially faithful amid the busyness of modern life isn't easy. Today, I'll tell you how to stay faithful in managing your money. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's easy to feel overwhelmed these days and be tempted to take the path of least resistance with money. Maybe it's easier to grab a cup of coffee on the way to work than to make it yourself, or to hit a fast food drive-thru rather than making dinner for the family. But those expenses add up quickly, and before you know it, there isn't quite enough money left over at the end of the month to meet your obligations, and you're charged a late fee. It doesn't have to be that way. With preparation, you can avoid it. First, carve out some time each week for prayer. Ask God for wisdom in managing your money. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Next, you need a spending plan. It's essential for managing your money faithfully. If you're not living on a budget, download the free FaithFi app in your app store. It has three different ways to set up a budget with step-by-step instructions and help from our team. The FaithFi app will also track your expenses so you stay on budget. Developing your budget will show clearly whether you have enough income to meet your expenses. If you don't, there are really only two options. You can either cut your expenses or look for ways to increase your income. Trimming the budget may be easier, so look at the categories where you spend a lot of money first. You may not be able to do much right away with your rent or mortgage, but what about food? Groceries and eating out can gobble up a big chunk of your budget, but planning can save you a lot of money. Limit getting carryout to 1 to 2 times a month. Instead, draw a menu plan for the week. Make a list of the items you'll need to prepare those meals before you go to the store. Actually, shopping online for groceries can save you money because you're not tempted by impulse buying and you see the running tab of the items you choose. That will help you stay on budget by not overspending in your food category. Most of the bigger chains offer online shopping now, often at no charge. Then look for other ways to trim your spending. Are you still subscribing to streaming services you're not using? Can you form a babysitting pool with other parents? Or maybe look for free activities in your community. Every little bit helps. Now, once your budget is balanced, ideally you'll have something left over. This is also essential. Unless you can learn to live below your means, you'll be running up debt every month. More on that in a bit. Now, the next step in staying financially faithful is to take that leftover money, even if it's only a little, and begin saving up your emergency fund. You absolutely must have a reserve of cash to meet unexpected expenses, things outside your budget, like a furnace needing repair or a medical bill. Start with a goal of $1,500, then keep going, adding bit by bit. You'll want to eventually save 3 to 6 months' living expenses in your emergency fund. It may take a long time, and you will no doubt have setbacks along the way, but the peace of mind you'll get once you have your emergency fund in place will be worth the effort. Okay, I mentioned debt earlier. If you have it, you know firsthand that Proverbs 22:7 is true. The borrower is slave to the lender. Make a plan to get out of debt. You can split your leftover money, applying some to your emergency fund and the rest to paying down consumer debt. Use the snowball method to speed this up. Pay all of your minimum payments, but more on the account with the smallest balance. When that's paid off, put your extra money on the next smallest balance. Rinse and repeat until the debt is gone. If you're having trouble meeting those minimum monthly payments, contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to get on a debt management plan. They can get your interest rates reduced so that you can pay off your debt 80% faster. Once your consumer debt is paid paid off, you can turn to retirement savings. Strive to save 10 to 15% of your income in a tax-advantaged plan like an IRA or 401k. If your employer offers matching contributions, you want to do this as quickly as possible to take full advantage of that free money. These things are all important, but a generous heart is at the core of financial faithfulness. Commit to giving consistently to your local church and look for opportunities to bless others through sacrificial giving. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
A little over a century ago, Eric Little, the Scottish Olympian, refused to compete on a Sunday because of his Christian convictions. He later went on to serve Jesus as a missionary in China, and there he died saving others in a prison camp. His captors were shocked with the way Eric Little treated them. He did not speak ill of them. He responded to their cruelty with love. He took the words of Jesus to heart. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, we don't possess in ourselves the strength to love like that, which is why abiding in Christ daily, learning to draw from His strength for every day, makes the difference. Spend more time with Jesus through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Now, our team is away from the studio today. Don't call in, but we did line up some great questions. We'll get to those in a moment. First, we do want to tackle a few emails today. These come into us regularly. This first one comes from Cindy. She writes, I have a friend who's married to an unbeliever, and her spouse sees no value in money beyond spending it. Do you have any advice for how she can make a budget and share it with her spouse so that his eyes might be open to the importance of financial stewardship? Well, I think anytime we're talking about money, we really want to back up and talk about shared values. And even though he's an unbeliever, and let's make that the priority to pray for his salvation, we want to make sure that we focus the money decisions around money being a tool to accomplish those things that are most important to us, which are really those shared values. So what financial goals are they trying to reach? I think once they can agree on where they'd like to be financially in the years ahead, it may be easier to have the other spouse stick with a budget, because it's not just about a short-term sacrifice just so we can live frugally, although that's good to do. I think the extent to which we're sacrificing in the short term and really creating a plan so that we can accomplish our longer-term objectives that really align with what's most important to us. We want to be able to leave a legacy. We want to be able to give generously. We want to be able to leave something to our children's children. We want to take a trip and enjoy time together. I mean, whatever that is, we want a bigger home for, you know, our kids. Those priorities aligned with our values ultimately require a plan where we order our finances and even sacrifice or limit spending in the short term so that we can have that longer term benefit. Now, remember, when we're looking further out, the longer the perspective, the better the decision we're going to make today. And so perhaps that's the next step, is to invite her husband to sit down, take a step back. Let's not talk about the daily and weekly spending of the money. Let's talk about our shared values, what we'd like to accomplish in the future. Now, how do we create a spending plan that reflects both of us, that drives us to that outcome? I hope that helps. Gretchen writes, should we tithe on money that we receive from an insurance payout? Well, Gretchen, it depends on the type of a settlement. If it's for lost income, such as with a life insurance death benefit, well, then that would be an increase. If it's for an automobile accident or a house fire, for example, you would not tithe on it because it's not an increase. It's actually a replacement for something you lost and previously paid for with money that you tithed on. So I think it really comes down to what is the purpose of that insurance payout. If it's simply to make you whole for a loss, then again, that is not an increase. Now, I love the principle of the tithe, though, even though we are no longer under the law of Moses. What a great way just to acknowledge God's provision, to acknowledge God's ownership of everything, and to say, on the first and the best of what I receive, we're going to give as unto the Lord, starting with our local church. It's going to be proportionate and systematic, but let's not make that an ending point. Let's make it a beginning point and then give sacrificially beyond that. Let's begin today in New York. Wayne, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Rob, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Listen, real quick, I don't want to take a lot of time, but I want to mention real briefly, Larry Burkett was a great influence on my life early on, and Howard Dayton.
Oh, well, I couldn't agree more, Wayne. I appreciate you calling that out. Howard is a good friend to this day, and of course, the former host of this program before Howard, the late Larry Burkett. And it's amazing. You know, I was just talking to some team members earlier today. I lead Kingdom Advisors in addition to FaithFi, where we disciple financial advisors. And Larry was a co-founder of Kingdom Advisors. And we give an annual award each year called the Larry Burkett Award in his honor. And the reason we do it is because he really popularized this idea of bringing together biblical wisdom with modern personal finance. And as you know, Wayne, he did it with a kind heart and just always rooted in scripture. And that's the reason I believe that people still reference him today, is because God's wisdom transcends everything. And Larry pointed that way for us. And so we're certainly grateful. I appreciate you calling that out. How can I help you today?
You're very welcome. Sure. My first question for you is this, Rob. Unfortunately, about a week ago, I was let go from my job. I was terminated from my position. And so I'm no longer working right now. How do I restructure my finances since my unemployment?
Yeah. Well, Wayne, my heart goes out to you. I mean, the good news is that we still have a pretty robust labor market, so hopefully you can find a new place of employment quickly, and that needs to be your sole focus right now, asking the Lord to give you wisdom and discernment, provision, but really pounding the pavement and doing your part to find that next job, and let's hope you find something quickly, and you've got something to bridge between one and the other, maybe, you know, unemployment insurance or some sort of severance. This is a time to pivot, Wayne, to what we call the Mayday budget, which only has four categories in order of importance. It's first, food. We've got to cut our food expenses as much as possible. No eating out, takeout, ordering in, or home delivery. Make a menu plan, cut the frills, make a grocery list, but we got to keep food on the table. The next priority is housing. Whether you own your home with a mortgage or you have rent, you have to keep a roof over your head. If you can't make the payment, call your lender or landlord. Let them know ahead of time. Don't run from them, run to them. Perhaps ask for an extension. Third priority is utilities. We've got to keep the house heated or cooled and the lights on. And you can't, you know, make a gas or electric payment. Contact the utility company and let them know about your financial difficulty. And you may also need to ask for an extension there. And so after food and housing and utilities, then the final priority is transportation. We've got to keep the car, you know, in good standing and keep gas in it so you can get to that next job and get out there and find it. And if you can't make that car payment, contact your lender. So that's the Mayday budget. I would say once you're living on it, you know, your money will go a lot further. Obviously, this requires that everything else kind of is temporarily suspended. You know, with any remaining funds, you could target consumer debt or other loans, keep those current. But we really just need to go into a mode of hopefully just, you know, dialing back lifestyle spending as much as you possibly can. And this is hopefully where an emergency fund, if you have one, could be tapped to kind of weather this storm. But hopefully that gives you some ideas to think about.
You think I should reach out to my church?
You certainly could. I mean, you know, most churches have a benevolence ministry for this purpose. And a lot of times people are giving regularly to the benevolence ministry and the money just kind of sits there because they don't have necessarily an active way to get it into the hands of the people that need it. So I would say, yeah, absolutely. This is a great opportunity for the body of Christ to step in here. And I think they could help you for a couple of months, maybe make some of those utility payments or something like that. So I like that idea a lot.
Thank you. At age 62, which I am now, with no savings, but thinking about early retirement, but willing to continue to work, what's your take on that?
Yeah, got it. Obviously, you know, this is that season when you're between work where, you know, there can be a lot of appeal to just starting that check. Unfortunately, you're going to lock it in a much lower amount. So let's pick that up right on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Wayne in New York. Wayne has unfortunately been laid off from his job about a week ago, and we talked about how he can restructure his spending plan temporarily around what we call a Mayday budget, where you prioritize just the essential four and eliminate everything else to the best of your ability, those four being food on the table, house, roof over your head, utilities on, and gas in the car, so you can get to finding that next job. But other than that, everything's kind of negotiable, if you will. But Wayne, I know you had a second question. Restate that for our audience. It has to do with taking Social Security early, right?
That's correct, Rob. At age 62, which I am now, with no savings, but think about early retirement, but willing to continue to work at least 30 hours a week.
Yes. Okay. And do you have a sense of what that would be, the total income you'd have if you work 32 hours a week?
If this job works out, which I'm going to apply for tomorrow, look like $18 and like 21 cents, something like that, an hour.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what you would have to factor in there is if you were to take Social Security early, you do have a cap for Social Security on how much you can earn without having your benefits reduced. And so that cap in 2024 was $22,320. I think it's slightly higher than that for 2025. And so if you went over that, then you would have your benefit reduced by a dollar for every $2 you go over the limit. Now, you'd eventually get that back after full retirement age in the form of a higher check until you're fully repaid for everything that was withheld. But you just have to factor that in, that you are going to potentially get that reduction if you go over. Now, in terms of taking it early, you are going to get that permanent reduction at 62. You know, and I think the downside of that is, you know, that's locked in forever. And, you know, when you don't have a lot of savings, you know, what would be better is to get that Social Security check up as much as you can, because that then gives you obviously more income every month for the rest of your life. If you go ahead and take it at 62, you know, if your full retirement age is 67, that's going to be a full 30% reduction in monthly benefits. So if your check was going to be $1,800 a month, now all of a sudden it's $1,260, and that's permanent. Now, that you could get increases to that $1,260 through a cost of living adjustment, which everybody gets annually based on inflation. And the only other way would be is if you knock off some of those lower earnings years by continuing to work. But I would much rather you kind of dig back in, find another job if you have the health to do it, that's going to allow you to cover your obligations and let that Social Security check continue to grow. Just because that's going to be a primary source of income, and that 30% reduction is something, you know, you're going to feel pretty significantly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say my best advice, Wayne, is to delay that as long as possible. And if you've got the ability to do it, you know, all the way to age 70 would allow you to get as much as 25% more than your full retirement age benefit, but at least until full retirement age. Keep in mind, folks, if your full retirement age is 66, taking it at 62 gives you a 25% reduction or thereabout. If it's 67, it's going to be a full 30% reduction. That's a lot of money. Wayne, hey, thanks for your call today and for your kind remarks about the program, sir. To Palm City, Florida, Kobe, how can I help?
Hey, good afternoon, Rob. Appreciate the program. Been listening back since the Larry Burkett days.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
I've got a 401k through work, and I believe it's pretty much invested in like high-risk type things, because when the market's good, it makes money hand over fist, but when it's not doing so good, it loses, like, big time. Through the company, it's called Empower. It used to be Prudential. And in their literature, there's an area where it says if you need help investing. But I'm just wondering your thoughts as far as investing through that company, or I don't know if there's any other options as far as, since I'm still working with the 401k.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. That's Empower is one of the largest retirement plan record keepers in the United States. So they, you know, offer employer sponsored retirement plans and the typical range of investment categories. You know, you've got your target date funds, which are kind of the simplest way to make sure that as you're getting closer and closer to retirement, the mix of investments is automatically shifting from aggressive to conservative. Then you've got your index funds, you know, which track the S&P 500. And then there's actively managed funds, both on the bond and the stock side. And then kind of the run of other types of categories, you know, large cap, mid cap, small cap, domestic, international, that type of thing. And then they do have managed account services where they will essentially manage your account for you. I wouldn't be able to say whether or not, you know, what that has added in terms of a historical performance and whether, you know, Empower can justify the fees that they're charging and give you a better rate of return. Because at the end of the day, that's what you'd be looking for, is somebody to outperform the indexes or the managed accounts, because you're going to have to pay for that service. So perhaps you reach out to them and just find out, what kind of data they can give you on how their performance has done versus the market. Apart from that, if you feel like you're being too aggressive, the target date fund could be a great option, where essentially you're still kind of in the broad market, but you're ensuring that as you get closer and closer to retirement, you're not too concentrated in stocks and therefore too aggressive. Does that make sense?
Sure. Is there like an average as far as percentage that they normally charge?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with them. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're charging somewhere between 1 to 1.5% a year if it's actively managed of the total investable assets. But that would be one of the first questions I would want to know. Kind of, can you give me some historical performance on how your managed account has performed versus the market and the other passive options? And what are your fees? Kobe, I hope that helps. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart. But Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. So grateful to have so many of you that call into the program regularly, and appreciate a couple of mentions already today of the late Larry Burkett. What a treat and a joy it was to be able to know Larry, and now to carry on his legacy on this program each day, which the ability to continue to equip God's people and encourage them with biblical wisdom on finance is just a real joy of mine, and I walk in some giant shoes, that's for sure. Let's go down to my hometown, Fort Lauderdale. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today? I was just trying to figure out what would be the best way to kind of like either help my spouse start to combine my finances together, or like how can I have a conversation with her to let her know like, hey, look, like it works if we put our money together than keeping it separate, because it always seems like you're out of money and now I'm out of money, and it's like burning on both ends. You're spending here, I'm spending here. Instead of we combine together and we can kind of have a plan. And I'm trying, I just want to be better at it. So it's just really hard, and she's just not going for it. She's like, suppose I want to buy you a special gift. Like, I'll know. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's really hard. So yeah. I just want some advice.
Well, John, I appreciate that. And I think you're right to kind of lean into this. And the idea is that, you know, this is going to require a lot of communication, a lot of openness, and a lot of trust. But isn't that what the marriage relationship is? You remember Jesus told us in Mark 10:7, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And I think that becoming one does extend to our checkbook, just like every other area of our lives. And so we've got to talk through that. And we've got to recognize that when we come into the marriage relationship, we're bringing our differences. And that includes our money differences, you know, our relationship with money, the way we view money, the way we handle it, how tightly we grip it or how loosely we hold it. A lot of that comes from not only how God has wired us, his thumbprint on each of us as our creator and how he's created us uniquely in his image, but also our upbringing. You know, I've read studies that say that a lot of the way we see and view money was in place by the age of 9. And it has to do with how plentiful or the scarcity of money in our homes, what was modeled for us. So we bring all that to bear in the marriage relationship, and then we need to try to put that together. And that's not easy without a lot of understanding of each other and how God has wired us, and then being able to appreciate the differences differences and our temperaments and so forth. But secondly, with a lot of open and honest communication as well. John, what do you feel like is at the heart of this? Is it really she's concerned about feeling kind of constricted or limited, or is there trust issues? What do you think is at the heart of her desire to keep finances separate?
She was more into, like, she does not want to have somebody counting her money for her every time.
Yeah.
And I try to explain, like, it's not, I'm not going to count your money. I'm not going to look at your money and say, hold on, you have this much. It's not about that. It's about kind of like, you take your bill, we take our bills, we make a decision how we're going to pay these bills, knock these bills out. So we have all the bills. You got a car payment, you have our rent, we have, you know, saying, light bill, and those things taken care of. So if anything extra you want to do, because she likes to travel, anything extra you want to do, now we can build and budget towards those things together so you don't have to do it by yourself, you know? And that's the kind of things that I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's key. And really, we need to get away from the mine and yours mentality, because, again, you guys are now one flesh. God's design for marriage is unity and oneness. And that certainly includes the finances. And, you know, what we say is that obviously we remain individuals, but that marriage partnership requires trust. It requires openness. It requires communication. That's especially true when it comes to the area of finances. And the challenge is, when we keep everything separate, it fosters that mine and yours mentality. But when we put it together, it promotes trust, because neither of us are making hidden purchases. And, you know, everything is in full view. But that doesn't mean that you all can't be reflected in terms of your personalities and your interests and your passions separately. It's just that you step back as a married couple and say, okay, where is God leading us? And how can money be a tool to accomplish his purposes aligned with our values? And, you know, ultimately, where are we going? And then we create a spending plan that reflects both of you. And perhaps there's a portion of that spending plan that's just for her to do what she wants with. And there's a portion that's just for you, for the things you enjoy. But the big decisions are all made jointly and in full view of one another. And I think that's the vision that you all need to bring to the table here. It's not about you scrutinizing it. And it's not about, I don't want you looking at my money, because the reality is, John, and this is, I think, you know, an important truth for all of us, is that it's not either of yours. It's God's. It all belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein. And that includes money, a gift from God that he has entrusted to us to be faithful with. And part of that faithfulness as now one flesh, a married couple, is to say, God, how do we surrender everything to your purposes? How much do we keep for us? And that means you all need to land on what your lifestyle is going to be. How much do we enjoy? How much do we use to provide? How much do we give away? But it's not a matter of each having your own accounts. It really should be viewed as one account. And I think mechanically, it should be combined into physically one checking and savings account, because the moment you try to keep those separate, you know, it's just going to foster that mine and yours mentality. Let's do this. You know, perhaps she'd be willing to work through a great resource in this area. It's a book called Money and Marriage, God's Way. It's written by the my good friend Howard Dayton, the former host of this program. And, you know, I think maybe your request of her is, listen, honey, I'd like to explore God's heart as it relates to money and marriage. I don't have all the answers, but let's look to his word. And I've been told this is a great resource for us to do that. And perhaps if you guys would work that through that, maybe a chapter a week or something, and just be willing to hear her side of it. Maybe you both agree to pray and ask for God's wisdom as you work through it. And then on the other side of it, see if it doesn't change how you apply these principles in the daily handling of your money management decisions. Does that sound good?
That does sound good. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, John. Let's do this. You stay on the line. Our team will get your information, and we'll get that book out to you right away as our gift to you. Again, it's called Money and Marriage, God's Way, and we appreciate your call today. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Keith. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is, I have a 20-year-old vehicle, and that's usually about the time I start looking for a new vehicle. I've been fortunate enough to be able to buy new vehicles my whole life. But I run the wheels off of them, and so after 20 years, I'm in a position where I looking to get another vehicle. And I'm retired now, so leasing was never really an option for me and during my working years, because I was primarily in outside sales and put a lot of miles on the vehicle. So I wanted to know what the, between leasing now or buying, what makes more sense? Because I'm not afraid of leasing now because I don't, you know, the 12,000, 15,000 mile annually miles that they allow you was a concern for me when I was in outside sales, because I would blow through that in 6 months.
Yeah, very good. This is a great question, Keith, and I'm sure it's one that a lot of our listeners have. I'll answer it right on the other side of this break. Now, just a quick reminder is don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. A quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
When couples experience infidelity, it's easy for some to walk away from their marriage. But what if God has something better in mind? Next time on Focus on the Family, Josh and Katie Walters describe how God intervened and saved their broken relationship. It's a powerful message of hope on the next edition of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Before the break, we were talking to Keith in Chicago. He has a 20-year-old vehicle that's paid off. He's retired. He's always avoided leases in the past, but he's wondering for his next car now that he's not driving as far and he could stay well below the annual lease requirements for the mileage restriction. Should he at least consider it? If not, he would probably be financing it. And, you know, I think, Keith, one of the keys to what you said, unless you're planning to make a change on this in your retirement years, that the fact is that you generally buy cars and keep them until the wheels fall off. I do the same thing. My car that I'm driving right now is a 2014. And the last minivan we turned in had 250,000 miles on it before we replaced it for our family. And so, you know, I tend to take that approach as well. I generally buy new because I spend the time to research it. Last time I bought a new car, I flew three states away to buy it because I saved about $3,000 or $4,000. But it makes sense to buy it with 0 miles, get the full warranty, because I tend to keep them for a really long time. And if that's the case, your total cost of ownership is going to be lower, when you just buy it outright. You know, that's just going to be the better option. You know, you're getting around that significant depreciation that occurs, you know, when you lease a car. And so you've got that pretty significant depreciation right when you drive off the lot. You're avoiding the fact that you are going to have to turn it in at the end of the lease or buy it out. And if you turn it back in, now you're starting this process over. So I think given your approach, you know, I would prefer, unless you have a business where you can take this as a deduction, you know, I think the total expense that you're going to outlay over the life of the car is going to be lower with you buying outright versus leasing.
Even though, you know, from what I hear, like, you know, these new cars, like the average now is like $50,000, which is almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
Used to be able to buy a house for that.
Yeah, exactly right. It is wild. And the average car payment now is sitting at just shy of $800 a month, which is just mind-boggling. But keep in mind, the fact that car prices are where they are, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, just the complexity of these vehicles. They're basically, you know, we're driving giant computers these days. You know, that's all going to be factored in to the lease, because essentially you're paying for all of that depreciation based on the full value of that car for those first 3 years. And so that's going to result in a higher lease payment for 36 months because it's all pegged to the original purchase price plus the interest that they're going to bake into it. But then you don't have the ability with a car that you've owned and maintained and taken care of to continue to ride it out once it's been paid off into all those years where you no longer have any financing, you no longer have any car payment, and you get the benefit on the back end of a car that you know, you keep for a long, long time. I think that's where you're still going to do better with buying.
Yeah, as long as I'm not one who has to be driving, you know, 2-3 year old cars. So as long as, you know, that doesn't bother me, like I said, I've always kept cars a long time. So you're saying even though with the cost, buy versus a lease.
Yeah, exactly right. Because with car prices and interest rates rising, lease payments are higher due to the increased capitalized costs and money factors, you know, that go into this. And so generally, they've risen along with the car prices and the interest rates, because higher car prices equal a higher cap cost. That's the capitalized cost of the car. So the monthly payment is higher, and then the money factor is the interest rates. And so that increases the lease financing costs, which pushes up the monthly lease payments. And then, you know, you've got the residual value can help some, because used car values are also high. So that can raise the lease's residual value, which slightly offsets the increase. But the net effect in today's market is usually higher monthly lease costs than in previous years. And so, again, for somebody like you and I who buys cars and keeps them for a long time, I'd rather you get through that depreciation with a car that you're going to maintain well. You're not going to drive it a long time, you know, a lot of miles each year. So it's going to last you for the next decade. You won't be looking at buying another car, you know, for a long, long time. And that favors the purchase versus the lease.
Yeah. Well, and I'm 73, so this will probably be my last purchase. So
I don't know. I'll tell you, the Lord may not be done with you. Yeah, you may still have another car or two in you, but that's up to him, right? Hopefully that helps you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. Lord bless you. Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I and my fiance are both retired teachers. And so we were overwhelmed with joy when we heard of the cessation of the windfall, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Windfall elimination provision.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so it was the talk of the town, and now we've heard nothing. So what I was talking to your people about is, I just wondered, with you being connected into the world of finance, have you heard anything? We don't know when, you know, perchance the money would be coming our way. Is there something we're supposed to be doing? We just don't know what to do at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about the Social Security Fairness Act, which was actually signed by President Biden just before leaving office. on January the 5th. And to your point, it allows workers who had Social Security benefits reduced because they received a government pension, which included teachers and firefighters and police officers. You know, that is now going away because it abolished what is called the windfall elimination provision and the government position, the pension offset. And so the typical increase is going to be about $360 a month for those workers that were affected by it. Now, the bad news is the Social Security Administration, based on the last we had seen, said that it could take up to a year to implement those changes. However, it should be retroactive, according to what we're seeing. They'll make you whole for those benefits you would have received starting, I believe, on the first day of this year. But it may take a year for it to work its way through the system before you start seeing that higher check.
Well, and that's my second question is, people are saying that the retroactive is going to be a separate check. Is your thought that it's going to be a separate check or that it's going to be added in? I mean, either way, we're just thanking God because for 5 years and mine was significant, and my fiance's is even more so. I mean, they cut my Social Security by $600 because of the windfall, because I retired from STRS. So
yes.
he was cut even more so than that. You know, you go to your Social Security and they're like, hey, you're gonna take home $800, and then they go, oh no, because you're retiring from STRS, you're gonna take home $200.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's incredible. I think to your point, we're hearing that it actually goes back all the way to January 2024 in terms of it being retroactive. And although they haven't said this definitively, I think most people believe it's going to be paid in a single lump sum payment that represents the retroactive benefits, as opposed to, you know, putting into a check that will be, you know, paid out over a long period of time. So, yeah, all the way back to January 2024 and likely in one payment. But remember, they've got a lot of cases to review, and so it's going to take some time to process and distribute those retroactive payments.
Correct. Well, we can be patient.
Yes,
good. You see the light the tunnel. Yes, we'll be patient.
That's right. I can understand that philosophy for sure. Well, listen, Lisa, all the best to you. And I'm delighted to hear that you guys are going to benefit from this. I'm a big fan of what they've done here with this Social Security Fairness Act. Thanks for calling today. Let's go down to Florida. Hi, Tracy. How can I help?
Yes, I was wondering, would it be would I be able to file for bankruptcy to get rid of a judgment that was placed? I'm headed towards divorce, and we were sued for a car that my spouse crashed, and we have the judgment placed already, and they're moving towards wage garnishment. I understand I owe the money, but all the bills that we've acquired during marriage have been in my name, and unlike the previous caller, or similar to the previous caller, we did start out with combined income, and that turned into more debt with overdrawn bank accounts. So it's been separate, and as a result, everything is in my name, and now they want to garnish my wages, and I make maybe a third of what he makes. And I don't know what to do because I cannot afford that.
Yeah, I certainly understand that. Has the divorce been finalized? And do
no,
you have a...
No.
Okay. All right. So a lot of this is probably going to come out in that proceeding. I'd probably talk to your attorney about this. And, you know, he could or she could weigh in on this particular case. I would say generally, I'm not an attorney, but generally it's going to depend on the type of judgment as to whether or not the bankruptcy would wipe it out. If it's a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, it could eliminate a judgment. If it's, for property damage or general property injury claim, something like that, there are non-dischargeable judgments. But again, I would get some legal counsel on this because there's two issues going on here. Number one is, how is the divorce going to play out? And then number two, if I did proceed with bankruptcy, would the judgment be able to be wiped out? That would ultimately be something your legal counsel would need to advise you on. I will say, even though bankruptcy is not in the Bible, I think the key is if this is something that's owed, I think we need to honor our obligations. And the goal there would be over time as you're able to get it paid off. But ultimately, from a legal standpoint, you really need to check with your attorney on this. I'm sorry I couldn't give you more definitive advice. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. I'm Rob West. And on behalf of my team today, this has been Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.